We have a guest speaker from the other Chinese church here in town, Livingstone. Mr. Ron Parker is an elder there, and so he is going to come and give us God's word this morning.
So, greetings from Livingstone and Pastor Joshua. We appreciate so much the support and the prayers that Kunming and the C4 Church is giving us over the last year. And so we thank you guys so much. And it's quite an honor for me to speak to you here today. I am not a preacher. I am not a really good speaker. So today a few weeks ago, Pastor Kunming asked me to speak. I was reluctant to accept, but finally God convinced me that, hey, this is what I want you to do. So I am here. So I decided to speak about something that I knew something about. And problem of pride. In fact, I would say that I am when it comes to pride, I like Paul in the chiefer sinners. It is something that's affected me all of my life. But when we think we know something about pride, in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes in, comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. So the question is for all of us, I think, do we have a problem with pride? Sometimes, maybe. Maybe. Will you admit it? I would submit to you. Let's see. That we're naturally self-focused. We're naturally self-exalting. We are prideful. I think we all struggle with this problem. In fact, I think it is central to our old nature. It is the closest that we'll come to being like our old father. Who is our old father? It is our adversary. It is Satan. Because of his pride, he rebelled against God. He insisted that he was to live an autonomous life, that he was to be equal to or superior to God. And it's also pride that caused, that he used to tempt Adam and Eve. So it was pride that kept me from being a Christian for some 26 years. I was making money in my own business. I had an MBA. I had a plan. I had ambition. I was very prideful. I knew I had what it took to make it. But God changed that. My root sin was pride. I depended on philosophers to tell me, for me to understand what this world was all about. But God saw to it that He broke me. He broke me through a broken relationship, through a disillusionment with philosophers. I discovered they didn't know very much. They all argued among each other. There was nothing there. And then someone turned me on to the New Testament. Someone said, read this. You've done everything else. Read this. So I did. And so I read the Sermon on the Mount, which showed me that my standards were here, God's standards are way up here, and I didn't even meet my standards. So I was humbled. I found humility in the Sermon on the Mount. And so today I come to you and I'm perfectly humble. I forget, my wife's back here. She will tell you different. In fact, she tells me often, Ron, you're so proud of your humility. And I know it's true. So, maybe we all struggle with this issue of pride. In fact, I fight this battle every day. Do you? Do you fight it? I can't go through a day when I don't want to compare myself to some other people. In fact, when I go, for instance, to a restaurant, I compare myself to those around me, my fellow Americans, my Taipanga Megorin. So, what is the first thing I think of? The first thing I think of, look how these people have no self-control. They dishonor God with the management of their own bodies. I'm so glad that I'm not like that. I go to the gym, I eat reasonably. I'm a good steward of my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then, thank God for His Holy Spirit, because He comes to me and says, Ron, listen, remember that passage in the Gospel of Luke. Let's go there. So open your books, your Bibles to that, and I will read out of my, I think this is the NLT. Then Jesus told a story of some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He dared not even to lift his eyes to God. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Of course, when the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, I saw, I am that Pharisee. Oh God, make me into that tax collector. Make me into that tax collector. But not only do we have to fight our own depravity, our old nature, our old sinfulness, but we have to fight our culture too. Both the United States and China have lots of cultural emphasis on pride. In fact, in the United States, what is it? We always want to be what? Number one, right? USA, USA, or we're number one, we're number one. And we encourage our children. We say, oh, don't you have pride in yourself? Look at that dirty room you have. What kind of grace is this? Do you not have any pride? And so what are we doing? We're using, and pride is a great motivator. It is a great motivator. But it's also poison. It's also against the very nature of God. So we in the United States are really bad about this. In fact, we even, I think, take pride in our pride, of all things. So, and if we have somebody has a problem, we say, oh, you have low self-esteem. But we ignore the deeper problems of us putting ourselves at the center of the universe, of denying who God is, who taking away the glory from God. But the Christian should have his security in the love of God alone, not the fact that he's better than someone else, not because he scored more runs in the baseball game. But China is also a fan, emphasizes pride in many ways. But it's more like a family or a country type pride. After all, the Middle Kingdom, you know, what does that say? What is it? Filial piety? Is that supposed to sound? Yeah. What does that emphasize? It emphasizes the pride of the family. And many of my Chinese friends that they would have, if it hadn't been for pride, they would have never gotten here to the United States. And it's true. It is a good, pride is a motivator. Yet it's always the enemy of faith. It is the enemy of love. It is the enemy of God. Again and again, Jesus condemns the hypocrisy of pride. For we are but dust. And only God deserves the glory. Only Christ deserves the glory. It is a battle that we must fight. Let's look in Mark. We must fight it in our minds. It says this in Mark 20:22. And then he added, it is the thought life that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. So what about our minds that makes this a problem? 1 Corinthians 3:18-21, it says, God, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So how do we fight this battle? How do we overcome our own depravity, our own twisted nature, our culture emphasis on pride, and our own wisdom that encourages pride to us? How do we overcome that? Let's look in 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. It says this, God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. We see God's wisdom and the love of God in the Logos that became flesh. He made us purely and holy. As the scriptures say, the person who wishes to boast should boast in what the Lord has done. And in Galatians, Paul also says, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride is corrosive. It's like an acid. It's like a poison. But we have the cure. The cure for the illness of pride is the gospel. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. The gospel says this, says we are sinners and we don't deserve eternal life. But God, our sin is so bad that God the Son came to earth to take on flesh so that he could die for us so that we might live. So whenever we fall into pride, we're really robbing God of his glory because he's done it all. We're denying our true condition. So God is, we are so corrupt that Christ had to die on the cross for us to make our way into heaven. So we need to agree with Paul in 1 Timothy. This is what he says. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. So, are you in the everyone? Do you understand this? Do you understand your own nature, your own sin? The truth is, we only understand a small portion of our own depravity. You know, one of the results of having a lot of Chinese friends is they may come to my house and they say, and they may compliment me on, you know, "Oh, Ron, you're so generous. You're such a nice guy." Or they'll say this to my wife, you know, and of course my standard reply is, "Nali, nali." But the truth is, it makes me proud. And I know this is wrong. So what do? I tell them this. If you see, and I tell you this too, and if anyone else will listen, if you see anything good in my life, it is because of Jesus Christ and His love living in me. It is not me. If you see something bad, if you see, if I disappoint you, if I am caught in some sin, that is me. But if you see something good in my life, that is because of Jesus Christ in my life. To Him be the glory. So let's look here. Paul tells us much of this same thing about the struggle that we all face. And he says this in Romans 7, 18 to 25. "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do the wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, am I really the one doing it? It is sin living in me that does it. I found this principle of life. When I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord." We as believers, we struggle because it's only Christ living in us that frees us from the slavery of sin. As we understand our desperate condition, we can understand more about how God has all glory, and we can overcome our pride. So, what is it? We must preach the gospel to us, ourselves, every day. Every day. The gospel is not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for you and me, because we need to live out the gospel. But if we don't remind ourselves of the gospel, that we are sinners, that we are saved by grace, how can we live the life that God wants us to live? But I know I'm proud of my... The question is, who should get the glory in our lives? It's God who needs to get the glory. So we need to always remember the things we do that are good. We need to give God the glory. So often, I am proud of my humility, as my wife says. So we must preach the gospel. Say, "Ron, you are a sinner. You deserve death, but God has chosen you before the creation of the universe to be His ambassador. By His grace you have faith. By His grace you can accomplish great things." You must always remember who should get the glory. Recently I've been reading a book about glory. Jonathan Edwards. Some of you may know him. This book is updated to modern English, so it's a little easier than some of his older writings. He is by far, I think, the greatest theologian America has ever produced. And the name of the book is The End for Which God Created the World. And it's all about God's glory. So, if some of you may want to borrow this from me later, you can. But it's taught me so much about how I need in all things to give God the glory. You know, I think... So, you know, sometimes when I'm in public areas, maybe I go and pay for my gas at the local station. I mean the gas station. And I look around and I see so many people buying lottery tickets. And I think, "Ron, you're really wise because you don't throw your money away on such stupid things. You are a good manager of God's money. Again, I'm putting myself above my brother. And soon the Holy Spirit tells me, Ron, there you go again. Will you ever learn the lessons I'm trying to teach you? It's so difficult. Every day, I must fight this. I must fight this pride every day. I must remind myself of the gospel. Pride is so deceptive. It's so deceptive. So what are you proud of? Now, Christians are not proud. We're all humble. But how many times have you been proud of your decision for Jesus Christ? How many times have you been proud for the time you spent in prayer? How many times did you brag on suffering for Jesus? Another may have pride in the number of people he brought to the Lord. Another may have pride in the days he trespassed or how God has blessed him. But spiritual pride is the one thing that God hates. Just as we saw in that passage about the Pharisee, over and over again, Jesus talked to us about whitewashed tombs. He talks about hypocrites. He talks about all these people. He even says to the people at the end of time, you said you're mine. You say that you did miracles in my name, that you cast out demons, that you did this. Go away, I never knew you. Because these people were not really giving God the glory. So we must be like our tax collector. We must love, we must remind ourselves of our sin, we must remind ourselves of God's holiness, we must remind ourselves of the condemnation we deserve and Jesus Christ took on Himself so that we might have life. It is in that context we can defeat pride. It is only in that context. So, what have we learned? All of us struggle with pride. Pride is deadly poison. So, when you start thinking this way, this afternoon or tomorrow for me, maybe sometime, you think of yourself. Listen to how your mind thinks. Pride is deadly poison. It will keep us from serving God in love. Because if we're better than other people, then certainly they don't deserve God's love. I'm the one who deserves it, right? That's the poison that will infect even Christians. The gospel is the only cure. Look to the cross. We must remember to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And only then can God increase and we decrease. To God be all the glory. Let me pray real quick. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is sharp and true. And I pray, God, You would show us the areas in our lives that we take pride in, that we brag to our brothers and sisters about. Lord, I pray that You would convict us that everything that good that we do must be to Your glory. Oh God, I pray, work Your Spirit in us to show us how we should react, how we should live. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have a guest speaker from the other Chinese church here in town, Livingstone. Mr. Ron Parker is an elder there, and so he is going to come and give us God's Word this morning.
So, greetings from Livingstone and Pastor Joshua. We appreciate so much the support and the prayers that Kunming and the C4 Church is giving us over the last year. And so we thank you guys so much. And it's quite an honor for me to speak to you here today. I am not a preacher. I am not a really good speaker. So today a few weeks ago, Pastor Kunming asked me to speak. I was reluctant to accept, but finally God convinced me that, hey, this is what I want you to do. So I am here. So I decided to speak about something that I knew something about. And that is, oh, there we go. We got it. Problem of pride. In fact, I would say that I am a, when it comes to pride, I like Paul in the chief of sinners. It is something that's affected me all of my life. But when we think we know something about pride, in Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes in, comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So the question is for all of us, I think, do we have a problem with pride? Sometimes? Maybe? Maybe? Do you? Will you admit it? I would submit to you, let's see. That we're naturally self-focused. We're naturally self-exalting. We are prideful. I think we all struggle with this problem. In fact, I think it is central to our old nature. It is the closest that we'll come to being like our old father. Who is our old father? It is our adversary. It is Satan. Because he, because of his pride, he rebelled against God. He insisted that he was to live an autonomous life, that he was to be equal to or superior to God. And it's also pride that caused, that he used to tempt Adam and Eve. So it was pride that kept me from being a Christian for some 26 years. I was making money in my own business. I had an MBA. I had a plan. I had ambition. I was very, very prideful. I knew I had what it took to make it. But God changed that. My root sin was pride. I depended on philosophers to tell me to for me to understand what this world was all about, but God saw to it that he broke me. He broke me through a broken relationship, through a disillusionment with philosophers. I discovered they didn't know very much. They all argued among each other. There was nothing there. And then someone turned me on to the New Testament. Someone said, read this. You've done everything else. Read this. So I did. And so I read the Sermon on the Mount, which showed me that my standards were here, God's standards are way up here, and I didn't even meet my standards. So I was humbled. I found humility in the Sermon on the Mount. And, And so today I come to you, and I'm perfectly humble. Oh, I forget, my wife's back here. She will tell you different. In fact, she tells me often, Ron, you're so proud of your humility. And I know it's true. So, maybe we all struggle with this issue of pride. In fact, I fight this battle every day. Do you? Do you fight it? I can't go through a day when I don't want to compare myself to some other people. In fact, when I go, for instance, to a restaurant, I compare myself to those around me, my fellow Americans, my Taipanga Megorin. So, what is the first thing I think of? The first thing I think of, look how these people have no self-control. They dishonor God with the management of their own bodies. I'm so glad that I'm not like that. I go to the gym. I eat reasonably. I'm a good steward of my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But then, thank God for His Holy Spirit, because He comes to me and says, Ron, listen, remember that passage in the Gospel of Luke. Let's go there. So open your books, your Bibles to that. And I will read out of my, I think this is the NLT. Then Jesus told a story of some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He dared not even to lift his eyes to God. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Of course, when the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, I saw, I am that Pharisee. Oh God, make me into that tax collector. Make me into that tax collector. But not only do we have to fight our own depravity, our old nature, our old sinfulness, but we have to fight our culture too. Both the United States and China have lots of cultural emphasis on pride. In fact, in the United States, what is it? We always want to be what? Number one, right? USA, USA, or we're number one, we're number one. And we encourage our children. We say, oh, don't you have pride in yourself? Look at that dirty room you have. What kind of grace is this? Do you not have any pride? And so what are we doing? We're using, and pride is a great motivator. It is a great motivator. But it's also poison. It's also against the very nature of God. So we in the United States are really bad about this. In fact, we even, I think, take pride in our pride, of all things. So, and if we have somebody who has a problem, we say, oh, you have low self-esteem. But we ignore the deeper problems of us putting ourselves at the center of the universe, of denying who God is, who taking away the glory from God. But the Christian should have his security in the love of God alone, not the fact that he's better than someone else, not because he scored more runs in the baseball game. But China is also a fan, is emphasizes pride in many ways. But it's more like a family or a country type pride. After all, the Middle Kingdom, you know, what does that say? What is it? Filial piety? Is that supposed to sound? Yeah. What does that emphasize? It emphasizes the pride of the family. And many of my Chinese friends said they would have, if it hadn't been for pride, they would have never gotten here to the United States. And it's true. It is a good, pride is a motivator. Yet it's always the enemy of faith. It is the enemy of love. It is the enemy of God. Again and again, Jesus condemns the hypocrisy of pride. For we are but dust, and only God deserves the glory. Only Christ deserves the glory. It is a battle that we must fight. Let's look in Mark. We must fight it in our minds. It says this in Mark 20, 22. And then he added, it is the thought life that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. So what about our mind that makes this a problem? 1 Corinthians 3:18-21, it says, God, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you're wise by the world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. As the scriptures say, he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So how do we fight this battle? How do we overcome our own depravity, our own twisted nature, our culture emphasis on pride, and our own wisdom that encourages pride to us? How do we overcome that? Let's look in 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. It says this, God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. We see God's wisdom and the love of God in the Logos that became flesh. He made us purely and holy. As the scriptures say, the person who wishes to boast should boast in what the Lord has done. And in Galatians, Paul also says, as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride is corrosive. It's like an acid. It's like a poison. But we have the cure. The cure for the illness of pride is the gospel. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. The gospel says this. It says, we are sinners, and we don't deserve eternal life. But God, our sin is so bad that God the Son came to earth to take on flesh so that he could die for us, so that we might live. So whenever we fall into pride, we're really robbing God of his glory, because he's done it all. We are denying our true condition. So God, we are so corrupt that Christ had to die on the cross for us to make our way into heaven. So we need to agree with Paul in 1 Timothy. And this is what he says. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. So, are you in the everyone? Do you understand this? Do you understand your own nature, your own sin? The truth is, we only understand a small portion of our own depravity. You know, one of the results of having a lot of Chinese friends is they may come to my house and they say, and they may compliment me on, you know, oh, Ron, you're so generous. You're such a nice guy. Or they'll say this to my wife, you know, and of course my standard reply is, Nali, Nali. But the truth is, it makes me proud. And I know this is wrong. So what do? I tell them this. If you see, and I tell you this too, and if anyone else will listen, if you see anything good in my life, it is because of Jesus Christ and his love living in me. It is not me. If you see something bad, if I disappoint you, if I am caught in some sin, that is me.
But if you see something good in my life, that is because of Jesus Christ in my life. To him be the glory. So let's look here. Paul tells us, much of this same thing about the struggle that we all face. And he says this in Romans 7, 18 to 25. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my sinful nature. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do the wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, am I really the one doing it? It is sin living in me that does it. I found this principle of life. When I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what's wrong. I love His law, God's law, with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We as believers, we struggle because it's only Christ living in us that frees us from the slavery of sin. As we understand our desperate condition, we can understand more about how God has all glory, and we can overcome our pride. So, what is it? We must preach the gospel to us, ourselves, every day. Every day. The gospel is not just for unbelievers. The gospel is for you and me, because we need to live out the gospel. But if we don't remind ourselves of the gospel, that we are sinners, that we are saved by grace, how can we live the life that God wants us to live? But I know I'm proud of my... The question is, who should get the glory in our lives? It's God who needs to get the glory. So we need to always remember the things we do that are good. We need to give God the glory. So often, I am proud of my humility, as my wife says. So we must preach the gospel. So, Ron, you are a sinner. You deserve death, but God has chosen you before the creation of the universe to be His ambassador. By His grace you have faith. By His grace you can accomplish great things. You must always remember who should get the glory. Recently I've been reading a book about glory. Jonathan Edwards. Some of you may know him. This book is updated to modern English, so it's a little easier than some of his older writings. He is by far, I think, the greatest theologian America has ever produced. And the name of the book is The End for Which God Created the World. And it's all about God's glory. So, if some of you may want to borrow this from me later, you can. But it's taught me so much about how I need in all things to give God the glory. You know, I think... So, you know, sometimes when I'm in public areas, maybe I go and pay for my gas at the local station. I mean the gas station. And I look around and I see so many people buying lottery tickets. And I think, Ron, you're really wise because you don't throw your money away on such stupid things. You're a good manager of God's money. Again, I'm putting myself above my brother. And soon the Holy Spirit tells me, Ron, there you go again. Will you ever learn the lessons I'm trying to teach you? It's so difficult. Every day, I must fight this. I must fight this pride. Every day, I must remind myself of the gospel. Pride is so deceptive. It's so deceptive. So what are you proud of? Now, of course, Christians are not proud. We're all humble. But how many times have you been proud of your decision for Jesus Christ? How many times have you been proud for the time you spent in prayer? How many times did you brag on suffering for Jesus? Another may have pride in the number of people he brought to the Lord.
Another may have pride in the days he has passed, or how God has blessed him. But spiritual pride is the one thing that God hates. Just as we saw in that passage about the Pharisee, over and over again, Jesus talked to us about whitewashed tombs. He talks about hypocrites. He talks about all these people. He even says to the people at the end of time, you said you're mine. You say that you did miracles in my name, that you cast out demons, that you did this. Go away, I never knew you. Because these people were not really giving God the glory. So we must be like our tax collector. We must love, we must remind ourselves of our sin. We must remind ourselves of God's holiness. We must remind ourselves of the condemnation we deserved and Jesus Christ took on Himself so that we might have life. It is in that context we can defeat pride. It is only in that context. So, what have we learned? All of us struggle with pride. Pride is deadly poison. So, when you start thinking this way, this afternoon or tomorrow for me, maybe sometime, you think of yourself. Listen to how your mind thinks. Pride is deadly poison. It will keep us from serving God in love. Because if we're better than other people, then certainly they don't deserve God's love. I'm the one who deserves it, right? That's the poison that will infect even Christians. The gospel is the only cure. Look to the cross. We must remember to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. And only then can God increase and we decrease. To God be all the glory. Let me pray real quick. Lord, we thank You that Your Word is sharp and true. And I pray, God, You would show us the areas in our lives that we take pride in, that we brag to our brothers and sisters about. Lord, I pray that You would convict us that everything good that we do must be to Your glory. Oh God, I pray, work Your Spirit in us to show us how we should react, how we should live. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.